Hi, and welcome to this edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. Our mission here at Fresh Hope for Mental Health is to empower you to live well in spite of your mental health challenge by sharing insights through interviews, practical tools for living well, encouragement and courage for overcoming all from a Christian perspective. And now, here's your host, Pastor Brad Hafes.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to this edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. I'm Brad Hafes, your host. Today, I want to talk with you about fixing cognitive distortions. I did a podcast recently, and you'll see it on the sites where our podcast is offered. It's part one of 15 common cognitive distortions. And they were identified by John Grohl. The items that we're going to talk about today come from a book called The Feeling Good Handbook, Using the New Mood Therapy in Everyday Life, and it's by Burns. I want to encourage you to think about possibly getting that book if you can get your hands on it, or go to the library and take it out. It's a good book, and there's lots of good stuff in it for us. Now, in this previous episode of Fresh Hope for Mental Health, we did part one where we identified these 15 common cognitive distortions, such as filtering, polarized thinking, in other words, black or white thinking, overgeneralization. Number four was jumping to conclusions. Number five was catastrophizing. Number six was personalization. Seven, control fallacies. Eight, fallacy of fairness. Nine, blaming. 10, shoulds. 11, emotional reasoning. 12, fallacy of change. 13, global labeling. Let's see here. What was 14? Always being right. Well, golly, that one I suffer from every now and then. 15, heaven's reward fallacy. So those were the 15 common cognitive distortions that people have. And you can listen to that edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. I'd say listen to part one first. If you're coming upon this part two, first listen to part one. And now in this edition, part two, regarding cognitive distortions, we're going to talk about how do you fix them. This is kind of like a little bit of a review from the book. It's done by John Grohl, who is a psychologist. So let's talk a little bit about this. Remember, cognitive distortions have a way of playing havoc with our lives if we let them. It's this kind of stinking thinking. And interestingly enough, it can be undone or fixed, if you will. We can replace them. It takes practice and it takes some effort and it takes work on it for every day for a while. And then suddenly we change our default setting. If your default setting is always to be hypercritical of yourself, or your default setting is the cognitive distortion of filtering, you can change the default setting. It takes some work, but you can do it. And if you want to stop the irrational thinking, you can start by trying out these exercises, and I'm going to give to you 8 of them, okay? So this is the way to go about fixing, if you will, or changing your default setting. Number one is identify your cognitive distortion. Create a list of the troublesome thoughts and examine them for matches with the list of cognitive distortions. So take a list, that list of 15, take your troubling thoughts and see which categories they fit into. And an examination of our cognitive distortions allow us to see which distortions we prefer, which ones really are our default setting distortions. Additionally, this process will allow you to think about your problem or your predicament in more natural and realistic ways. So, identify your cognitive distortion. Number two, examine the evidence. In other words, take a thorough inventory and examination of an experience that allows you to identify the basis for your distorted thoughts. For instance, if you're quite self-critical, then try to identify a number of experiences and situations where you had success. So just really examine the evidence, not on the bias of your default setting or not on the bias of your distortion, but what is the real evidence, and try to be as objective as possible. Number three, just know that you've got a double standard method. How many of you find yourself being able to be kind to others and are gentle with them when you might bring something up of concern to them, but with yourself, you're hypercritical and mean-spirited? Well, that's a double standard method. And an alternative to self-talk that is harsh and demeaning is to talk to yourself in the same compassionate and caring way that you would talk with a friend in a similar situation. In other words, don't treat others nice and treat yourself poorly, beating up on yourself. Don't have that double standard. Try to change it. In fact, don't just try. Work on changing it, and sooner or later, the default setting will change. So number one was identify our cognitive distortion. Number two, examine the evidence. Number three, get rid of the double standard method. And now number four, thinking in shades of gray. Instead of thinking about your problem or your predicament in an either-or polarity, evaluate things on a scale of 0 to 100. When a plan or goal is not fully realized, think about and evaluate the experience as a partial success, again, on a scale of 0 to 100. So often, we think in black and white, and life really is not in black and white. And if you're honest about it, even when you have something bad happen, there's still good in it. And when you have something good happen, there's still difficulties usually with it. Even good things bring change, and change can be difficult, etc. So begin to think in shades of gray instead of I either succeeded or I failed. It's hardly ever just that. Number five, survey method. In other words, do a little surveying. Seek the opinions of others regarding whether or not your thoughts and attitudes are realistic. Ask a few people. Now, ask safe people. It's not good to, if you have a lot of critical self-talk and everybody in your family's got it, your parent maybe has it, a lot of it, then don't ask them. Go to friends. Go to people who are safe, who are encouraging. And if for instance, you believe that your anxiety about an upcoming event is unwarranted, check it out with a few trusted friends or relatives. Check it out. Survey it. Number six, definitions. What does it mean to define yourself as inferior or a loser, a fool, or abnormal? That's not going to do you any good by having that kind of definition of yourself. An examination of these and other global labels likely will reveal that they more closely represent specific behaviors or an identifiable behavior pattern instead of the whole person. In other words, don't identify yourself with that pattern or that specific behavior, but identify the behavior as a problem or problematic, but not you as a whole person. When you have low self-esteem and you're suffering, many times we define ourselves by what we do. We're not really defined by what we do. And especially as a Christian, I'm not defined by what I do or don't do. I'm defined by who Jesus says that I am. You might have to remind yourself on this one and ask yourself, okay, in my case, okay, Brad, who does God say that I really am? Okay, he didn't say I was a loser. He didn't say I was stupid or inferior or abnormal. So see, you got to change the definition of yourself. Number seven, reattribution. This one we do very easily many times. We automatically blame ourselves for the problems and predicaments we experience. And so we see a predicament, we see a problem, and it's all us. It's because I'm stupid, I'm this, I'm that, and I did this, and I did that. And what you and I really need to do is be objective about it and identify other external factors and other individuals that contributed to the problem. Seldom are there problems and predicaments that are just so one person, one thing, etc. And regardless of the degree of responsibility that you assume, your energy is going to be best utilized in the pursuit of resolutions to problems, to identify ways to cope with predicaments. Instead of being mad at yourself about the predicament or the problem, look at ways to cope with it or ways to resolve it. Every time I have a problem anymore, and even if it's mostly my fault, I decided a long time ago I was going to learn from everything. And I just look and choose to see it as an opportunity to grow and to grow in how I communicate or grow in what I do or whatever it might be. Number 8, cost-benefit analysis. This one is, it's helpful to list the advantages and disadvantages of feelings, thoughts, or behaviors. A cost-benefit analysis will help you to ascertain what you are gaining from feeling bad. Why? What are you gaining? Distorted thinking. What are you gaining from it? And inappropriate behavior. What are you gaining from it? Note, a clinical concept of secondary gain refers to cost-benefit analysis. In other words, there's sometimes even secondary gain. And you gotta really look at stuff and say, why do I keep repeating this over and over? Why do I keep thinking these things over and over? What is there to benefit me by doing it? So many times it's based in shame, my friends. It's so often based in shame, and so we think we've got to punish ourselves. So do a cost-benefit analysis. Well, there you have it, all 8 of them. You have identify our cognitive distortion. Number 2, examine the evidence. Number 3, double standard method, getting rid of it. Number 4, thinking in shades of gray instead of black and white. Number 5, the survey method, ask your friends, ask safe people. Number 6, definitions, redefine yourself. And number 7, reattribution. Look at all the key factors in the problem or predicament. And then number 8, do a cost-benefit analysis. What is it benefiting me? What is the cost of holding on to these cognitive distortions? I'm going to be honest with you, it is absolutely possible to change your default setting regarding your cognitive distortions. I personally am living proof of it. I don't have them completely solved, and I still have some cognitive distortions that need a different default setting, but let me tell you, it works. And the wonderful thing about how God has made our brain is that it can rewire, it can heal, and our thinking can heal. Now, all of this is good and helpful to us. One of the things that I find with those of us who have a mental health diagnosis is that many times we want to just take the medicine and hope for the best. It's kind of like taking your insulin shots for diabetes, but eating however you want. You know, I could take my mood stabilizer and I could take my antidepressant or my anti-anxiety medicine or this or that. But if I keep that stinking thinking, I'm actually working against the medicine. Changing your cognitive distortions has to do with working with your medicine. Will you accept this challenge? I hope you will. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that for those of us who have stinking thinking, distorted thinking, where we're just thinking about things in a distorted way. Clarify to us, Lord. Show us who we are in you. Tell us the truth. Help us to align our thinking with the truth of your word. And Lord, help us to be empowered by this, to actually go about working the change every day. Jesus, thank you for not giving up on us. In your name, amen. Well, my friend, I hope that this has been helpful to you, and I thank you for listening to this edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health. I'd really love to hear from you. What topics would you like us to address? Who would you like me to interview for the program? Just send me any of your ideas, your questions, your input to pastorbrad@freshhope.us, or you can write to info@freshhope.us. You can leave a voice message on our podcast website at freshhopeformentalhealth.com. And I'd love to get in touch with you on Facebook or Twitter. And we have videos on YouTube channels and Vimeo. We have groups across the United States. We have an online group. We have groups in Canada, one in England and Guam. And if you'd like to start one in your area, we'd love to talk to you about that. Please be sure and tell your friends and family about this program. Now, may your stinking thinking be changed to a whole new default setting that takes you to what the truth is and what God's Word says that is true. So until next time, may the Lord fill you with His hope, fresh and new daily. I'm Brad Hafes, your host, and this has been another edition of Fresh Hope for Mental Health.
You've been listening to Fresh Hope for Mental Health. If you have an opportunity, please review, share, and subscribe to the Fresh Hope for Mental Health podcast on iTunes or on the service that you use. We encourage you to share our podcast on social media with your friends and family. Previous podcasts of Fresh Hope for Mental Health can be found at freshhopeformentalhealth.com, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes. Fresh Hope is one of the leading networks of faith-based peer support groups internationally. For more information about Fresh Hope, go to freshhope.us.